在前两次的讲到，我们讲到了以色列人如何的在重建圣殿的这件事情上面认罪悔改。
In the past few sermons, we talked about how the Israelites were rebuilding the temple and then asking God for the forgiveness of their past sins.
在上一次讲的第一章的最后一节呢，给了一个日期，就是大力乌王的第二年六月二十四日。
On the last verse of the first chapter, it talked about King Darius on the 24th of the sixth month.
那他们在那一段时间认罪悔改之后，以色列人继续建造圣殿，就是不是一帆风顺，没有困难了呢？
So after they ask God for the forgiveness of their sins and they continue to build the temple, was the building process very smooth?
看来好像不是，因为我们看到今天我们读的经文呢，大约在一个月之后，就是七月二十一号，神透过哈该再一次向以色列人来说话了。
But it seems like this process did not go very well, as approximately 1 month later, on the 21st of the seventh month, God once again spoke to the Israelites.
我们看第三节哦，神要哈该这样的说，他说：“你们中间剩下的人，有谁见过这殿与从前的荣耀呢？你们现在你们又看他怎样，岂不是视如无物一样吗？”
So in verse 3, God says, Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?
为什么神要这样说呢？
Why does God say this?
原来当时的人呢，在继续建造这个圣殿的过程当中，开始失望了。
Because people at that time, when they were doing the construction, they were becoming disheartened.
特别有些的老人家，他们以前在被掳去巴比伦的时候，他们曾经见过那个旧的圣殿，就是所罗门王建的那个圣殿。
Especially the elders of the community who had seen the previous temple before they were all captured by Babylon, they had seen the temple built by King Solomon.
这些人感到特别的失望。
These people were extremely disappointed.
我记得香港有个有钱人为自己做了一个金的厕所啊。
I remember there was a person in Hong Kong who made himself a golden toilet.
然后他就可以常常的上电视啊、报纸啊这样。
And he often went on TV and newspapers because of it.
还有一个好像是一个从中国去香港的一个很有钱的人，在自己的那个浴室里面呢、啊，把那个水龙头啊这些东西全部是做纯金的。
There was another very overly rich man who went from China to Hong Kong who made all his like bathroom taps and things pure gold.
But 1 year later, he got caught and went to jail. But 1 year
later, he got caught and went to jail.
但是想象一下，在旧约啊，《列王记》上面记载到所罗门是怎么样去建造那个第一个圣殿的。
So in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, it describes how King Solomon went about to build the temple.
那个圣殿的内部的装修啊，不是油漆的。
The inner furbishing of the temple was not like paint.
而是全部用金啊，金纯的金贴在所有的墙壁上面。
But it was in fact layered with pure gold.
我们中国人有一句话叫“金碧辉煌”，是形容那个地方很漂亮。
There's an old Chinese saying, saying gold, shining. I don't know to describe like it's really splendid and magnificent.
这是形容，因为有时候漆了油漆是金色的，然后很漂亮，所以这样去形容它。但是所罗门的那个殿真的是用金子来涂上去的。
That saying is only meant to describe buildings painted in the golden color to say it's really pretty. But in fact, Solomon's temple was really like painted with pure gold.
哈该书第二章这里呢，神正在描述这些曾经见过旧的圣殿的那些人，他们的心情是怎样的。
Haggai was describing how the people who had previously seen the temple and what they were actually feeling.
神在那里说，如果你以前见过这个圣殿啊，现在再去看看那个正在建的那一个啊，第二个圣殿的时候，就会发现啊，做这么多事情好像没什么意义。
He said that if you had seen the previous temple and you're looking at the construction process of the current temple, then you would realize that there's really no point.
这么差的圣殿建出来这么难看的，看见就不顺眼。
Such a poor temple in comparison to the old one. It's just pointless.
其实在我们服侍神的过程当中，有时候这种失望的心情也会常常的出现。
But, and in actual fact, quite often when we try to serve God, this kind of disappointment is, we often feel that.
我们努力的服侍，但是有时候出来的结果非常的令人失望。
We try so hard to serve God, but the end result is just so disappointing.
我自己要反省我自己，来到圣山一堂双语崇拜已经服侍也快五年了。
When I recall, Ben's been here for about 5 years now.
是吧？刚刚，我来的时候正在读中学的，现在已经进大学了。
When he first came, he was in high school, and now he's in uni.
读大学的现在都在工作了。
Oh, no. Okay. No. When the people that first he came here in high school are now in uni, and the people in uni are now working.
那时候在读书的现在都在忙着生孩子了，是吧
？And people that were working are now busy having babies.
但是关于这种失望的心情，我想在这五年当中，但数都数不清。
And he's had countless times where he's felt really disappointed.
举个例子啊，我们每个星期天要去接人啊、送人啊，或者是爱妃煮饭啊。
For example, every Sunday we have to go pick up people, send people home. Ivy has to cook all these meals.
的确有很多人会来我们教会啊，接受这样的爱心。
And in actual fact, a lot of people come to our church and accept these gifts of love.
也有很多人会加入教会啊。
And a lot of them will join our church.
但是最后我一看我们的受洗记录，看一看的话，离开教会的人有时候比留下来的人更多。
But in the end, when we look at the baptism roll, the amount of people that have left our church is actually greater than the number of people that have stayed at church.
我相信这种的失望不只是我的，如果你们也在教会服侍的时候，也会有失望。
I'm sure it's not just Ben that's had these disappointing feelings, but when we all serve God, we've had times when we felt disappointed too.
那像那些带领敬拜的人呢，在背后努力的去练习啊，怎么样唱啊，然后在台上面又用劲的来带领大家唱歌。
For example, the praise and worship team, when they practice so hard and they try and sing as well as they can, but then the people in the congregation are not very responsive.
我还没讲到。但是有时候，台上的人努力唱，但是台下的人有时候的反应就是怎么样的？有时候大家会看到哈，One way, Jesus, 是不是这样？
When the people on stage try so hard to lead the people, but the people in the congregation, you know what they're like. They're like, you know, very half-hearted.
所以有时候会是非常的失望的，如果你是一个带领的人。
It's very disappointing when you're the person that's trying to lead the songs.
团契里面也一样的，团契里面的组长们很努力的花很多的时间去预备查经举办活动。
And cell group leaders too, you know, when they try so hard to prepare the Bible studies and organize activities.
到最后要开始的时候，很多人说今天很忙，我不来了。
And in the end, all of these people say, oh, I'm too busy, sorry, I can't come.
非常的失望。
That's really disappointing.
最惨的就是那些负责营会的人，是不是？
And the most sad people are those who organize camps.
花很多时间去筹划，去做很多的预备工作。
They spend a lot of time to prepare and do a lot of organization and things.
到最后呢，不是人家真正来参加，而是你去求人家来参加。
And in the end, it's not people come and sign up; it's you have to beg people to come.
失望 常常的失望。
Disappointment, you are often disappointed.
失望的结果是什么？
What's the result of disappointment?
很多人开始就不愿意再去服侍了。
A lot of people no longer want to serve.
来教会享受就好了嘛。
They just want to come to church and enjoy it.
所以过去的几年里面，我好几次我想放弃了，我不想再做青年牧师。
So in the past few years, Ben's had a lot of times where he's felt like giving up.
换一个成熟一点的教会嘛，不用这么辛苦嘛。
And he's thought about joining a more mature church.
要不我回去做生意啊，然后做一个普通的基督徒啊，又轻松又简单，多好啊。
Or he could go back and become a businessman again and become a normal Christian. It would be so much easier.
这种念头不知道出现了多少次。
He's had these thoughts countless times now.
前几天我和艾比开车经过一个很远的地方。
A few days ago, Ben and Ivy were driving past a really far away place.
我开车开到那一段路的时候，突然间有非常大的感想。
And when he was driving along that road, he had a sudden moment.
因为在那段时候，我想起两三年前呢，有一段的时间，我每个星期五晚上团契结束了，都要在这段路上面开来回一个半小时。
A few years ago, when they had cell group on Wednesdays, every week he had to drive along that road, there and back for 1.5 hours.
那开一个半小时干嘛呢？就是为了要送两个年轻人回家。
And why did he drive 1.5 hours? It was just to send 2 people home.
花了这么多时间，结果呢是怎样呢？
After he spent so much time on that, what was the end result?
现在两个人都不在教会了。
Those two don't come to church now.
我和阿比在谈到这些事情啊，或者这些人的时候，有时候都会非常的感慨。
When Ben and Ivy talk about those things, they feel very saddened.
不是不想做下去的这种的思想又会上来了。
And thoughts of quitting rise up once again.
但是感谢主，神就像鼓励以色列人一样，不断的鼓励我，使我有力量继续的走下去。
But thanks be to God that just like God encouraged the Israelites, God also is constantly encouraging Ben.
神怎样鼓励那一些失望的以色列人的呢？
How does God encourage those disappointed Israelites?
神在第四节开始说，我们看第四节。
So in verse 4.
所罗巴伯啊，你现在你要刚强。
But now be strong, O Zerubbabel.
约沙达的儿子大祭司约书啊，你要刚强。
Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak.
这地一切子民啊，你们要刚强，并且要做工。
Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work.
神凭什么叫以色列人可以刚强？
Why does God tell the Israelites to be strong?
因为神说，我与你们同在。
Because God said, I am with you.
神在第五节的时候叫以色列人去回看他们的历史，就知道神与他们同在的时候是多么的有力量的。
God tells the Israelites to recall over their past history and to recall how powerful they were when God was with them.
以前以色列人是如何的离开埃及的呢？
How the Israelites left Egypt?
是因为神与他们同在。
Because God was with them.
是神分开了红海，带领他们经过了沙漠，离开埃及人的手。
God helped them part the Red Sea and lead them out of the desert.
后来他们快到迦南地的时候，看见那些迦南人啊，个个都很高大威猛的，不像我的，都是很高很大的那些的。那个时候以色列人又怎么办呢？
And when they arrived at Canaan where the people were and the people there were all like tall and built and powerful and they were really fearful. So what did they do?
神在那个时候连续的四次在约书亚记第一章里面四次的鼓励约书亚， 你要刚强壮胆，你要刚强壮胆，连续的四次这样的去鼓励他们。
God encouraged Joshua to be strong four consecutive times. He just constantly encouraged him.
所以神在今天的第五节上面讲到，这是你们从埃及出来的时候，我与你们立约的话。
So in verse 5 says, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt.
现在我的灵住在你们中间，所以你们不要惧怕。
And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear.
不要被眼前的这一些的所看到的打败了你对神的信心。
Do you not be disheartened by what you see in front of you and lose faith in God?
因为神与你们同在。
Because God is with you.
我常常记得一个圣经学院校长Mike 给我讲的那个故事。
Ben often remembers a story that in Bible college he was told about.
那我也常常的跟别人来分享。
And he often tells other people.
这个校长叫 Mike， 他在巴基斯坦做了很多年的宣教师。
This principal is called Mike, and he evangelized in Pakistan for many years.
他的太太呢，就是在那里认识，然后结婚的。
And he met his wife there too, and they got married.
那他的太太不是巴基斯坦人哦，而是美国人。
His wife wasn't from Pakistan, but was actually American.
为什么一个美国的女孩子啊，那个他太太叫 Sarah， 会去到巴基斯坦呢？
Why would his wife Sarah, an American lady, be in Pakistan?
因为这个女孩子的父亲是美国的一位宣教士，在巴基斯坦。
Because this girl's dad was a missionary in Pakistan.
她的父亲在巴基斯坦宣教住了40年。
Her dad evangelized in Pakistan for 40 years.
这个故事常常提醒的我的不是因为这个宣教士啊，他能够在巴基斯坦住40年啊，传福音。
This story encourages Ben not that because this person evangelized in Pakistan for 40 years.
我想啊，如果有一天神真的要我去巴基斯坦这种的国家的时候，我会怎样呢？
What would Ben's reaction be if God told him to go to Pakistan?
然后想象一下，我去了那里，然后传福音哦，传呢传呢，很多人就信主了。
He envisions that when he goes there, he'll evangelize and lots of people will believe in God.
啊，接着我就在那里建了一个很大很大的教会，结出很多的果子。
And then he'll open up a big church there and grow lots of fruits.
如果情况是这样的话，我相信我会在那里能够住40年。
And he thinks that if that was such a case, he would be able to stay in Pakistan for 40 years.
但问题并不是这样发展的。
But in actual fact, this was not the case.
这位的美国宣教士在那里做了40年的宣教工作，结果呢？怎样
？But this American pastor, after preaching for 40 years in Pakistan, what was the end result?
最后他只带了4个人信主。
In the end, he only led 4 people to God.
40年的工作只有4个人信主。
40 years and only 4 people came to God.
这是一个怎样的结果？
What kind of result was this?
这个宣教是怎么样去面对这样的失望的结果？
How does this preacher face this kind of disappointment?
原来在他的分享当中，他说支持他40年宣教工作的不是工作的果效。
But when he shared this story about him, he said that it wasn't the result of his preaching that urged him on.
而是宣教工作的呼召。
But the actual calling to go and evangelize.
不是宣教的果效，有很多人信主，然后他有力量坚持40年。
It wasn't the fact that after he evangelized that lots of people believed in God that helped him continue to preach.
而是神叫他去，是神呼召他去宣教，所以他留在那里宣教。
But in actual fact, it was the calling from God telling him that he should go and preach.
非常简单。
That powered him.
很简单的理由，很直接的理由，因为是神叫他去，所以他留在那里。
This is a very simple and direct reason why he kept preaching, because God told him to do it.
当时我们可以回忆今天的经文，当时的神就提醒以色列人，不要因为重建圣殿的事工啊，不如人的想象的这么好，没有以前的圣殿这么漂亮，所以就失望。
So, this is the same as in the passage where God tells the Israelites to not be disheartened by the construction process because it was not as grand as the previous temple.
只要刚强，并要为神做工。
Just be strong and work for God.
因为这是神叫他们去做的，这是神的呼召。
Because this is what God tells them to do. This is God's calling.
我们在教会的服事，同样的，不是一定能够看见果效的。
And this is the same as our service in church. We may not be able to see the results of our work.
但是仍然要刚强起来，继续的服事。
But we must be strong and keeps serving God.
因为这是神的呼召。
Because this is God's calling.
我们人有时候看不见果效，是因为我们的智慧太有限了。
Sometimes we do not see the result of our efforts because our knowledge is too limited.
我们有限的生命看不见神这么大的智慧。
Our limited lifespan cannot see the extent of God's grand plans.
200年前呢，第一个去中国的宣教士，大家知道是谁吗？
200 years ago, the first evangelist to go to China. Do you know who it was?
大家知道吗？
Anyone?
对，马里逊。
Yep, Robert Morrison.
他在中国宣教27年。
He evangelized in China for 27 years.
最后他死在广州。
And in the end, he died in Guangzhou.
他的情况比刚才那个巴基斯坦的宣教士好一点点。
His situation was a little better than that guy in Pakistan.
他生前看见了十个中国人受洗。
Before he died, he led 10 people to God.
人家40年才四个，他27年十个。
So the Pakistan guy was 4 people in 40 years and Rob and Morrison was 10 people in 27 years.
在他的眼中，或者在当时很多人的眼中，这种的事工都是没有什么果效的。
So in many people's eyes at that time, that kind of serving really had no effect.
中国人真的很顽固的，看见这神的耶稣，他们就拒绝不信，当时还杀了很多的宣教士。
Chinese people were really stubborn and that they refused to believe and they often killed a lot of the missionaries.
但是今天我们再回看中国的情况是怎样。
But now when we look back at China,
今天马里逊他看不见，过了200年，中国现在有超过8000万的基督徒。
Now after 200 years, there are actually more than 80 million believers.
在2007年亚洲周刊有一个报告说到中国每一天有10000个人信主。
There was an article in the 2007 Asia Weekly which said that every day in China there was 10,000 people believing in God.
今天中国教会的兴旺是因为马里逊当时成为第一位宣教士，他顺服神的呼召，打开了向中国宣教的门。
The current Chinese situation is because that 200 years ago Robert Morrison opened the gates of China and led all the evangelists to start preaching to China.
但是当时的他看不见果效。
But at that time he could not see the fruits of his work.
的确，有时候我们会不明白哦，为什么神叫我们这样的做。
So many times we do not understand why God is telling us to do things.
其实以色列人当时也不一定很明白为什么神要他们建这个圣殿来敬拜神。
And the Israelites are not very clear on why they need to build this temple to worship God.
而且在生命记里面呢，生命记当神叫他们去建会幕，就是在沙漠的时候啊，还没有建圣殿，他们要搬来搬去，他们建了会幕，那个要求非常之仔细。
In Deuteronomy, when they did not have temples yet, God asked them to build altars, and these were two very precise measurements.
那现在呢，又叫他们去重建圣殿，就算没有以前那个殿这么漂亮，神也要他们去做。
So God is once again asking them to build the temple, even though it may not be as beautiful as the old one.
神的目的是为什么呢？
What was God's purpose?
当时的以色列人看不见，他们不明白。
The Israelites at that time did not understand why.
但是感谢主，今天我们知道，我们看得到。
But thanks be to God that we today know why.
其实神也在今天的经文当中啊，第六到第十节里面，他启示了预言给以色列人。
In verse 6 to verse 10, God prophesied to the Israelites.
首先我们看经文啊，第六节。
Verse 6.
再说，再过不多时，我要震动天地、海洋和旱地。
In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and earth and the sea and the dry land.
我想这种的形容，它不一定是真的要把天地这样震动，而是说神在不久的时候，他要做一件非常大的事情。
So this is probably metaphorically because he probably won't shake the actual earth and the sea, but it means that something very big is about to occur.
啊，这件事情就好像会震动天地和海洋一样，这也是说到这件事情会影响全世界。
This event will metaphorically affect the whole world.
接着第七节说到，我要震动万国。万国的珍宝就必运来，我要使这殿宇充满荣耀。
In verse 7 it says, I will shake all nations and the desire of all nations will come and will fill this house with glory.
这里说的是这件事情啊，要做的这件非常大的事情会使到圣殿充满荣耀，连全世界最宝贵的东西都要被它吸引过来，因为没有比它更宝贵。
So basically says this event will attract all the nations and all the best things of the world to come, and basically says this thing is better than any other thing in the world.
第八节说，本来金银财宝都是神的嘛，在神的眼中并不稀奇。
Verse 8 it says the silver is mine and the gold is mine, so it means that gold and silver do not mean much to God.
再看第九节。这殿宇现在不好看，神说，但在后来的荣耀必大过先前的荣耀。
Verse 9 says, The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house.
现在的确他们建的那个殿不太好看，比起之前旧的那个金的圣殿，没这么漂亮。
So the temple that they're building now is truly not as great as the old one, because the old one had like gold walls and stuff.
但是神说，现在这个比较差的破烂的这个殿，它后来要得到的荣耀比先前那个漂亮的更多。
So what God's saying is the current not as good temple will contain greater glory soon to come than the previous temple.
而且在第九节最后这里再说，在这个地方就是这个殿的当中，我必赐下平安。
So at the site of the temple, God says, I will grant peace.
我们总结这几节，神到底在说什么？
So what is God trying to say?
到底有什么巨大的事情要发生？
What great event will soon occur?
一个现在并不漂亮，并不美丽的地方，但将来会产生巨大的吸引力。
At such a ordinary and not very beautiful place, what great thing will happen?
啊，并且那个地方会充满荣耀，会影响整个世界的。
And that place will soon be filled with glory and affect the whole world.
而且还会赐给人平安。
And offer peace.
是什么事情呢？
What such an event could happen?
很快会发生的。
It will soon occur.
如果我们看看哈该书的位置，或者我们会开始猜得到。
If we look at the position of the book of Haggai in the Bible,
如果你们拿起圣经，再翻后几页，
if you pick up the Bible and turn a few pages,
接着什么事情发生呢？
What great thing happens after a few pages?
旧约结束了。
Old Testament finishes.
是吧？ 还有两卷书旧约就结束了。
Two more books and old Testament ends.
接着一件影响全世界的事情即将发生了。
And following that, a event affecting the whole world happens.
神安慰以色列人说：“你们不要看现在这个殿一点都不漂亮，但将来会非常荣耀。”
God comforted the Israelites, telling them that although your temple may not be that great now, but soon it will be filled with glory.
不漂亮的地方会变成非常的荣耀。
A unattractive place will soon become glorious.
我们看看十字架。
Let's look at the cross.
本来是一个一点都不漂亮的东西。
It was a thing that was not very attractive at all.
是罗马人用来惩罚罪犯的，钉罪犯在上面的一个东西。
It was a tool used to punish criminals.
但是今天我们再看十字架的时候，它就是充满着荣耀的。
But today when we look at the cross, it's filled with glory.
神说要做一件震动天地的事情。
God said that he will make an event happen that will shake the whole world.
有什么事情会比耶稣在十字架上死里复活更能震动天地？
What greater thing can shake the world more than than Jesus Christ dying on the cross and resurrecting?
只有耶稣能够战胜死亡，震动天地。
Only the fact that Jesus conquered death can shake the world.
神说要影响一个全世界的事情。
God said that a event will happen that will affect the whole world.
有什么事情比耶稣更影响全世界？
What other thing can have a greater influence on the world than Jesus?
今天我们在这里的每一个人都是因为被耶稣影响，所以我们在这里聚会。
Every one of us here today it has been affected by God or Jesus.
神说在经文里面说他要赐下平安。
God said that he will offer peace.
有什么能给我们满足和平安？
What can give us satisfaction and peace?
是钱吗？
Is it wealth?
车？
Cars?
或者海边的大屋子？
Or a great house on the side of the beach?
我相信我们很多人都清楚，只有耶稣能赐给人真正的平安。
I think a lot of us know that only God can give us peace.
因为耶稣是通往永生唯一的道路。
Because God is the only path to eternal life.
我想可能我们再看一段的经文看一段新约的经文。
Let's look at another passage in the New Testament.
在约翰福音的二章，大家有圣经的请打开。
In John chapter 2.
约翰福音第二章的十九节。
Verse
19.上面没有的。
OK。
有谁找到了？
Anyone found it? John chapter 2 verse 19.
大家找到吗？找到我读给大家听一下哈。
OK, we're going to read it.
你们拆毁这殿，我三天内要把它建造起来。犹太人接着说，这殿建了46年，你三天之内就能把它建造起来吗？但耶稣所说的殿就是他的身体。
Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had been spoken of was his body.
所以当耶稣从死人中复活以后，门徒想起了他所说的这些话，就信圣经和耶稣所说的话。这里讲的。
So when Jesus had conquered death and rose back up from death, and when the disciples saw this and they recalled all the things that Jesus said, only then did they really believe in that.
那门徒们最后他们愿意不怕死的去跟随耶稣，是因为他们看见耶稣就是旧约里面预言的那个弥赛亚。
The disciples were unafraid of death because that they saw that Jesus was truly the prophesied Son of God.
今天我们读到的这个哈该书里面的经文是哈该书当中最重要的一段经文，是最重要的高潮。
So the verses that we're reading in Haggai right now is the most climactic part of the whole book.
哈该先知他所传神的话，不单只是要叫以色列人认罪悔改。
Haggai's prophecy did not only want the Israelites to repent of their sins.
他更在信息当中去预言着耶稣啊的降生、受死、复活和升天。
But he also prophesied the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
如果旧约里面呢、啊、这样的预言呢、啊，就是讲到将来会有耶稣的降生这样的预言，只有一个的话，你可能说这样是一个巧合而已。
If there was only one prophecy in the Old Testament of such a event occurring, you may just say that it was a coincidence.
问题是在旧约当中有几百个。像这样的预言在耶稣还没有出生之前就讲好了这件事情。
But the fact is that there's hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus.
这样的话你就不能说它是巧合。
And in this case, you can't really say that it was a coincidence.
我们只能说是神一早预备好的计划并且这些的预言由耶稣来完成成就预言。
We can only say that it was in actual fact God's great plan that of for Jesus to come to earth that was fulfilled.
耶稣就是神的儿子，是神的计划。
Jesus was God's son and God's plan.
最后我们再看一看这个圣殿，我们讲了很多有关圣殿的事情，圣殿的意义是什么？
Lastly, let's look at what the point of the temple is, or the meaning of it.
圣殿对以色列人来说呢，是一个神同在的象征。
The temple was a symbol of God being with them.
因为他们在圣殿里面去献祭啊，去敬拜，表达他们对神的顺服或者敬畏。
Because at the temple, they offered offerings and gave offerings for God as a sign that God was with them.
而神呢，也透过圣殿呢的建造，或者是圣殿的功用，来表达他和以色列人之间的关系。
And God through the temple and the building process of the temple, it portrayed God and the Israelites' relationship.
然后对神来说，圣殿有更深一层的属灵的意义。
And to God, the temple had a deeper meaning.
圣殿是一个预表。
The temple is a
一个预言或者
is a prophecy.
是用一个建筑物来表达那种的预言。
It's using a structure to display this prophecy.
旧约时代呢，神和人之间是透过圣殿来连接的啊。
In the Old Testament, God used the temple as a form of joining between God and people.
人透过圣殿或者透过圣殿里面的祭司领受神的教导。
Through the temple and through the priests.At the temple, the people of in Israel received God's teachings.
神在那里也接受人的敬拜，就像刚才我们讲的，圣殿就成为了神与人之间的一个媒介。
And God received the worship of the people at the temple, so the temple became a sort of gateway between God and people.
这是因为当时耶稣还没有来。
This was the case because Jesus had not come yet.
人通往神最终的媒介，或者说最终的道路是什么？
What path can humans take to God? What is the ultimate path?
我想我们很清楚的，只有耶稣才是唯一的媒介，
And I'm sure
唯一的道路。
We're very clear that only Jesus is the path to God.
圣殿它本身是预表着耶稣。
The temple was a prophecy of Jesus.
真正的殿是耶稣自己。
the true temple is God, is Jesus himself.
在马太福音里面呢，记载了耶稣受死的时候的情况。
In Matthew's, it records the event of Jesus' death.
当耶稣在受死的时候，圣殿里的幔子从上到下裂开两半。
When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple split in half from top to bottom.
在那个时候，地也震动了，磐石也裂开了。
And at that time, the ground was shaking and the foundation was split apart.
那个幔子本来是在圣殿当中呢，象征着神和人之间有一样东西在隔离着。
That curtain was a symbol that there was a thing between God and people.
人不能够进去，只有大祭司一年可以进去几次。
People couldn't actually go inside. Only the high priest could go inside a few times per year.
但是当耶稣死的时候，那个幔子裂开了，就是说那个幔子已经没有用了。神已经把这个人和神之间这个隔膜给打开了。
But when Jesus died, it symbolized that this curtain had no more use anymore because Jesus was the way between God and people.
圣殿的工作，它是要预表耶稣的那个功能。
What did you say?
圣殿， yeah. 圣殿本身的意义，最重要的在旧约里面是要去预表耶稣将来他的意义。
Yeah, so the meaning of the temple was to symbolize that the point of Jesus.
所以在旧约，在马拉基书里面，以色列人他们很重要的要建那个圣殿，外在的圣殿。
So in Malachi, it records how the people built the outside of the temple.
今天对于我们每一个基督徒来说，最重要的圣殿是耶稣自己。
But to us now, the most important temple is God, is Jesus Christ.
这个圣殿是建在我们每一个人的心里面的。
This temple is built within each one of our hearts.
今天想问一问你们大家，你们心里面这个殿建起来了吗？
So let me ask you now, has the temple within your hearts been built?
你重建了你心中的殿吗？
Have you rebuilt the temple in your heart?
或者说你心中的这个殿是充满着荣耀的还是布满了灰尘的？
And is the temple in your heart full of glory or is it full of dust?
今天我们的殿记得就是耶稣基督。
Today our temple is Jesus Christ.
我们要不断的重建在我们的心里面去建立这一个殿。
We must constantly continue rebuilding this temple in our hearts.